Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us wherever you are in Southern California, listening at 89.3 or on the KPCC app. Worldwide there as well as at kpecc.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock on Film Week, our critics have a lot to talk about for this predicted to be very hot weekend. You might want to stay inside during the heat of the day and catch up on some good films. There's new Polish drama, The Hater, from acclaimed director Jan Komasa. We'll hear what our critics have to say about that, as well as an ACLU-centric documentary, The Fight, which profiles four attorneys and their legal cases against the Trump administration. One of the attorneys, guest we have frequently on the program, Lee Gallant. So we'll hear about that film. And Ron Howard has a new documentary with a National Geographic, Rebuilding Paradise, looks at the deadliest fire in California history and how residents of Paradise in Northern California have been coping with the loss of almost all of their city. But we begin with the tremendous economic challenges that Southern Californians are facing right now, with the end of the $600 a week unemployment supplement provided by the federal government. It puts so many households in a much deeper hole than they'd been in previously. And of course, with August rent now due for those that are renting, the question I have for you is, how are you dealing with all this? And what sorts of plans are you making to deal with the financial pressures that you're facing in your households? Just a good chance for us to check in with each other to find out what you're experiencing. We're at 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk. Also, you can post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Now, President Trump and Republicans offered a short-term continuation of the $600 weekly unemployment supplement. Democrats in Congress turned that down, saying that they don't want to separate the different parts of a stimulus plan and want to have a comprehensive approach, not take it piece by piece. But regardless of the political dispute that is at the center of this, the effect on local households is big. 866-893-KPCC. Please share with us this morning how you're intending to cope with that loss of $600 a week supplementary unemployment benefits. With us from Torrance-based Kendall Law, which specializes in real estate law, Eileen Kendall. Ms. Kendall, thank you very much for joining us. What sort of a crunch are we expecting now with rental properties and the fate of renters?
My pleasure, Larry. So the tenants that are struggling do have some more protection based both on the county level and a city level. Right now, also, the judicial system has put a halt to all types of evictions, whether it was COVID-related or not. While there is some discussion that that might be not extended and actually stop, there are still very significant protections both in L.A. County and L.A. City that helps renters.
And I know that much of your practice focuses on landlords, property owners. What are they facing in the way of unpaid rents, given that moratorium on evictions?
Well, I have two categories. For my property management clients, it seems like the majority of people that can pay rent are paying rent. The percentage is pretty low of the tenants that are not able to pay. There are the handful of tenants that don't reach out to the property managers and don't let them know anything so that they're in a bind because they don't know what's happening. They don't know if it's COVID-related or not. The real bunch of calls that I get are individual property owners that maybe had a house that they had owned and decided to move and rent it out, and they have their renters that pay the rent, which in turn pays their mortgage and their property taxes, and those are the ones that are really struggling when their renters can't pay the rent.
Again, I'd like to hear from those of you, and it could be that you're a property owner and you're dealing with uncertainty or loss of income on the properties that you rent. I'd like to hear from renters. How are you juggling all the different financial commitments that you've got for housing, for food, for other expenses that your household has taken on, if you've been relying on the $600 a week federal unemployment supplement, which now goes away. 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page. So important that we hear from you and the ways in which you're trying to deal with this. For example, if you're a renter and you found it difficult to pay the full rent that's due, have you had conversations with your landlord, property manager, with the owner of the property? What sorts of arrangements have you been able to make, or is there an impasse? If there were not the eviction moratorium, would you be able to stay in your apartment or your house or not? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I know for some listeners who have roommates, maybe you have a roommate who hasn't been able to afford to keep up on the lease. So that's put you in a difficult circumstance there. But a chance for you to weigh in and let us know how you are dealing with the kind of financial stressors that you're facing with that $600 a week federal unemployment supplement going away. Eileen Kendall of Kendall Law, specializing in real estate law, joining us. Eileen, if we have any listeners where property owners have tried to evict them from the property and done that despite county and city laws against that, what sort of recourse do they have?
They have a lot of recourse. The recent changes gave the tenants a private right of action, which means that they are now allowed to bring civil penalty cases in court. And I actually have one where a tenant has filed action against my client, saying that they are trying to illegally evict them under the moratoriums. There are penalties up to $10,000 per violation for landlords that do not comply with the moratoriums, and that's increased by an additional $5,000, so up to $15,000 if the tenant is older than 65 or disabled, and that's for per violation. So a landlord does have the opportunity to cure once, you know, they're put on notice that, hey, you're not supposed to do this. But if they continue, there are, you know, attorney's fees, these civil penalties and other penalties that are available for renters.
And if a property owner has a tenant who is typically someone that they would evict for either, you know, behavior in the property or damage to the property, things like that, do property owners have any recourse to for-cause evictions?
So if it is something with respect to a breach by the tenant that's not related to rent, so if, for instance, a property has a tenant that is dealing drugs or is a nuisance and the police are called multiple times, that's something that they call fault evictions. And you can still try to proceed with that. And I say try because the court system itself has put a stop on those. So what a property owner could do is serve a 3-day notice to cure the violation and outlining the reasons why the police have been called, you know, they're being a nuisance to the neighbors. If they don't cure that, they can file a complaint and they do get case numbers, but the court is not issuing the legal document called a summons, which is what gives the court the power over the defendant. The court's just not issuing those, but at least the landowner has it in line, so when the courts do open up, they can be at the top of the line instead of the back of the line. So those are evictions that are allowed because it is at fault. Now, the exception is in the city, if you have a nuisance or an unauthorized pet or occupant because of COVID, so say somebody's lost their job and 2 or 3 people have had to move in, those are protected and can't be processed.
Now, at some point, tenants are expected to pay the back rent that they weren't able to afford to pay during the COVID-19 crisis. Is that open-ended at this point, since we don't know how long the effects of the pandemic will be with us?
Yes, Larry, in a sense it is. The rule right now is that the residential renters have 12 months following the expiration of the local emergency, but that's the unknown right now. When that ends, you know, if it ends at the end of, you know, 2020, then they have a year from then. But we don't know when that date starts, because we just don't know when they're going to pull that in local emergency order.
And I'd love to hear from AirTalk listeners. If you're someone who is being hit hard, by the end of the $600 a week supplementary unemployment insurance, which has now come to an end, Congress has not agreed on a full or partial extension of that additional unemployment benefit. I'd like to hear what your plans are for working with so much less money coming into your household. 866-893-KPECC. And if you're someone for whom the state has lagged in processing your application and you've been living without that extra $600 a week, even though you're entitled to it, what are the ways that you've dealt with that? How have you been able to make ends meet despite that? 866-893-KPECC. Real estate attorney Eileen Kendall with me. Eileen, there have been some tenant advocacy groups that have pushed for rent forgiveness. I don't recall us ever having a push for something like that. And how would that work? Is the idea that public dollars would be used to pay the property owners, or the property owners would not be paid or only partially paid? How would that happen?
That's a good question, Larry. I think that that's the unknown as well. I know that there is some legislation pending. It has been revised several times and gone back, even to make this debt not something related to rent, but making it related to commercial debt so that it wouldn't even be allowed to be collected in an eviction. I think that there are some discussions about, you know, private or state money or county money helping landlords. But I think that the ultimate outcome may be that a lot of these mom-and-pop type renter landlords are just not going to have rental property. They're going to lose this property to foreclosures or have to sell it very low on the, you know, to some investors, because they're just not going to be able to maintain it. Because a lot of the mom-and-pop renters rely on the income, one, to pay the mortgage if there is one, the upkeep, and it's probably what they were using for retirement.
Anna in Westchester says, I've been paying rent even though my husband's been furloughed since March, but my landlord just told me our rent will increase by 4%, and we haven't been given much notice. She wonders, is there any sort of a rent freeze or just an eviction moratorium? Eileen?
So, Larry, in the city of L.A., there is a rent increase freeze on what they call the rent stabilization units, which are the rent control units. I don't know. I think Westminster may be in Orange County, and I don't know if
Westchester. No, that is L.A. It's near the airport, right next to the airport.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. So if it is a rent stabilization unit, they cannot increase the rent, but there is not for non-rent controlled units.
Okay, so if she's in a non-rent control unit, the landlord would be able to raise the rent. Anna, sorry about that news, unless you are in a rent-controlled property. 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dennis in Pasadena, welcome.
Yes.
Dennis, are you there? Go right ahead, please.
I'm here. I have an unusual situation. There was an eviction, a fault eviction that was issued prior to the pandemic, but it was set to be enforced October, long story, but to take effect in October. I'm wondering, do we have any protections to keep that eviction from being actually enforced by the sheriff? You mentioned earlier that there are some moratoriums and protections for people, even if the evictions are not pandemic caused.
And Dennis, without prying too much into this, I missed. Was this a claim of for cause eviction or no fault eviction?
No, it was a cause eviction. Fault eviction.
A cause. Okay, thanks, Dennis. Eileen Kendall?
Yes. So right now, the sheriff, they're not processing any type of eviction. So if October comes and these protections by the courts are still happening, the sheriffs are turning down the what they're called a writ, and that's what gives them the authority to go and remove somebody. Right now, they are not removing renters. So my caveat always is this might change. October is still a few months away, so I can't foresee the future. But as of today, they are not processing and removing people from property.
All right, Dennis, we wish you all the best. Thank you for sharing your circumstance. We're talking with Torrance-based real estate attorney Eileen Kendall. She works primarily with property owners, but also has advice on renters and what sorts of legal protections there are in this pandemic era. Tristan in Woodland Hills says, my husband's in the entertainment industry, and I was working as a substitute teacher. We have a couple of kids. I'm just on the edge of my seat, hoping that they're going to extend the $600 weekly benefits. We have a little bit of savings, but no idea when production will start back up. So, Tristan, I assume that your husband that you're talking about is someone who doesn't get paid if there's not production, not someone who is in a full-time employed entertainment job. Of course, most of those jobs relate to projects. So, Tristan, thank you very much. Eileen Kendall, I want to thank you for being with us, sharing your expertise, and talking about the tremendous challenge people have with housing, particularly with their $600 weekly unemployment benefits stopping as of the end of the month. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Eileen Kendall, Torrance-based Kendall Law, specializing in real estate. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. I'm coming your way from home, as I often do on Fridays. Coming up, we'll talk about the latest on consumer spending and where we are in the COVID-19 related recession. We'll be talking with economists next. Just 1 minute on Air Talk.